full of paganism, full of idolatry. There would be no sacred temple for them to worship in the appointed way. And many of the comforts that they had experienced in Jerusalem, they wouldn't have. They would be greatly discouraged, and they'd be discontent, I would imagine. And I believe that's implied from verse 1 even. He says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives." And he gives the list of the priests and the prophets and all the people carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Imagine how discouraging that would be. And I believe verse 5 and 6 give us the implication that they were discontent. Hence, Jeremiah writing this letter to them, because he has to tell them, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands." He has to tell them to do these things because there's a reluctance to do them. There seems to be a discontent with the people. They don't want to stay there. And the false prophets, if you continue reading through the chapter, you see that Jeremiah warns them, don't listen to the false prophets that are telling you you're going to be here for a short time. He's saying you're going to be here for a while, 70 years in this captivity. And the message is for them to take root there, to build houses, to dwell in them. But they would have been greatly discouraged and discontent. And I want you to put yourself there before we consider any more. I want you to imagine what it would be like if some great foreign power, some superpower in this world, Russia or China, for instance, came into this country and took us all to a foreign nation, away from all the comforts we've experienced and enjoyed here, all of the churches that we have around us, all the places to go and worship, all the fellowship that we have with each other in the body of Christ. Just put yourself in that position. That's where these people are. They've been taken from everything that they've known and loved. And I want you to hear God's call to them in verse 7, which is what I want us to consider. He tells them in the midst of all of this, "Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." And I want you to consider verse 7 tonight before we go to prayer as a call for God's people to transform their city. Wherever these people would have found themselves, whether it be in Babylon or in another place of the nation, the Lord tells them, seek the peace of the city. A call for God's people to transform their city, to seek the peace of it, and to pray for it. I want us to consider first the means of this transformation, the means by which God would have them to transform the city. First, an active seeking. He would have them to transform the city through an active seeking of the peace of that city. And how would he have them to do that? He would have them to do that through their influence. That's why in the preceding verses, he tells them to do these things that would seem to be normal. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives, beget sons, daughters, so on and so forth. He tells them to do these normal things of life because he wants them to take root there in this land, and he wants them to be an influence for truth, for God, and for good. So he wants them to accomplish this active seeking for the peace of the city by sharing the truth and by showing the truth. And what I mean is by speaking out in their spheres of influence. All these people would have been taken into different areas of the city. They would have been given different tasks, most of them slaves, if not all of them, in this captivity. And they would have each had a place to be an influence for God. And so by sharing the truth and by showing the truth, by speaking out the truth, by living out the truth, they can seek the peace of this city. And that's what the Lord would have them to do, an active seeking. And as I was preparing this, I thought of Daniel as an illustration of this. A man who had resolved to stand for God, even though he was being brought up in this foreign nation. Even though he was being brought up surrounded by paganism, had resolved by the grace of God to stand for truth and to speak for truth. And did it in a way that wasn't just abrasive, but in a way where he kept his integrity and he simply stood for God and spoke for God and declared what he would do and what he would not do for the Lord. I also thought of the Apostle Paul. And I thought of him in the context of sharing the truth and showing the truth, speaking out and living out the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 17, we're told in verse 2, And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. That is, to the Thessalonians. Went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And as we come down to verse 5, But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. It's a bit of a different context, but what I think is marvelous about the Apostle Paul is he went from city to city, sharing and showing the truth of the gospel, declaring the things that had been revealed unto him by the God of heaven. And he stood for this truth that had been given unto him. And thirdly, Christ, as this example of sharing and showing the truth, speaking out and living out the truths that he proclaimed. Going from place to place, from synagogue to synagogue, preaching the gospel and living out the gospel. And my point is simply that by doing this in each and every one of our spheres of influence, we seek the peace of the city. I believe that is what the Lord would have these people to do in Babylon and the various places they found themselves, was to seek the peace of the city in this way. To take the truth that they'd been given in the gospel of Jesus Christ and disseminate it in every place that they could, in every way that they could, in their own ways. So by sharing the truth and by showing the truth, an act of seeking. But he also tells them not only to seek the peace of the city, but to pray unto the Lord for it. So not only an act of seeking, but a specific praying is what the Lord would have his people to do in this land of captivity. A specific praying. What would he have them to pray for? By praying for conversions and by praying for protection. I believe we can say that. And this same truth is expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Same truth expressed in the New Testament as well as the Old, to the people of God then, to the people of God now. To seek the peace of the city, and to pray unto the Lord for it. A specific praying. Praying for God to sovereignly save those in authority, and praying for God's providential protection upon His people and upon the city. It seems that this is what the Lord would have His people to do in this foreign land. Their temptation is to resolve not to get involved. We're not going to be here very long. We can make our way through. We can avoid these Babylonians. We can distance ourselves from them. But the Lord tells them, don't do that. Don't be afraid to take root there. Don't be afraid to go after these Babylonians, to seek the peace of the city, to pray unto the Lord for it, to seek to be an influence in them, to them. And I was struck as I read this because I felt a lack in my own life of seeking the peace of my own city and praying unto the Lord for my own city. Very often, and this may be the case with you, it may not be, but I'll find myself praying for the nation at large. I find myself praying for the governors, for the president. But I don't pray very often for our local leaders. I find myself not being consumed with a burden for our local area. And that's one reason I wanted to bring this before you tonight. Because the Lord brought it before me. And my desire tonight is for us to pray about this. Not because we don't have a voice for truth in the area. Not because we don't have different things that we all do that we don't even know about, but simply, collectively, with a burden for this city. As those who are strangers and pilgrims on earth, as we know we are, this place is not our home. We're headed for glory, we're headed for better things, but we're not there yet. And none of us knows how long we have before we get there. And sometimes the temptation is to try and stay removed and remote and not be as much of an influence as we could be, whether through our fears, through our lack of resolve. But that's the temptation. But the Lord would have us to seek the peace of the city and to pray unto the Lord for it. So these are the means of transformation. These are the means the Lord would have His people to use to see a city transformed for truth, transformed for God, and influenced with the gospel. Very often it seems that the church is tempted to do one or the other. And what I mean is, very often it's either do, go and witness, or be an influence, simply just that, removed from prayer. Or it's the other one, where we give ourselves to prayer continually, consistently, but we don't take opportunities or put ourselves in a place to be an influence and to seek the peace of the city in that way. But it's when both are done together that God uses them to accomplish His purpose. When we seek the peace of the city and we pray unto the Lord for it, when we combine those together, God has said, He's given His promise that He will use those means to transform a city. Consider with me, secondly, the result of transformation. The means of transformation, the result of transformation. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So firstly, peace for the city. Peace for the city. The spreading of God's truth and the conversion of lost sinners will inevitably bring some measure of peace to any city. by sinners coming to know Christ and this establishment of the gospel there, in any given city, there's bound to be an increasing of peace temporally. Not to mention the peace that's being brought to men's souls spiritually, but a temporal peace that comes from the influence of the godly in any given land. So peace for the city. And secondly, peace for God's people. For when God moves in such a way upon a city through His people, not only will the life of that city be transformed, but the life of the people of God will be transformed. And just stop and consider God's purpose in all of this. Consider the fact that the people of God here in Jeremiah 29 have been carried away captive out of their land of promise into a foreign nation because of their sin. That's why they were carried away. The Lord poured out judgment upon the nation and carried them away captive because of their sin. But consider the fact that the Lord is not done with them. The fact that Jeremiah is speaking to them, prophesying in this letter, and what does he communicate? He communicates that God has a purpose for them in this place. That just because the nation's sin, the sin of its leaders, was the cause of him carrying them away captive, the reason for all this being brought about, yet God has an overarching purpose. Now, couldn't find any historical record to show this or to read about it. Not sure if there even is one. But could you imagine the influence that the people of God had, the ones who would be obedient to this call from God in that land of captivity? Could you imagine the influence that they would have had in that land of paganism? To spread the truth that they had been given, the oracles of God that they'd been given, the truths of the gospel that they'd been given. Can you imagine the influence that they could have had in that land? And to me, it's just an amazing mercy that in spite of the church's sin, that God still uses her to accomplish His purposes in this fallen world. He places His people where they are meant to be. And for these people who were discontent with where the Lord had them, in the words of Matthew Henry, he wrote that since the earth is the Lord's, the child of God can never set his feet off of his Father's domain. And I thought, what a comforting thought that would be to these people who are in a land of captivity and away from all their comforts that they'd known. And is this not the same promise that we have from God again in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. God promised His people here that if they would seek the peace of the city and pray unto the Lord for it, in the peace of that city that would result from their obedience, that they would have peace. And as we read earlier in 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. Praying for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God has not promised His people a perfect life this side of eternity. But He has promised a peaceful life to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should always remember that it's to that end. It wasn't just so that we could be comfortable. It wasn't just so they could be comfortable. But when there's peace in a city, there's peace in a nation, we have that freedom and that liberty to promote the gospel. But each one of us needs the Lord's help to seek the peace of the city. And so let's pray unto the Lord for it. The Lord has placed each one of us here in Greenville, South Carolina. We each have a sphere of influence. We each know people that others don't. Even different kinds of people that some of us are able to talk to more easily than others. So let's pray tonight that the Lord would make each one of us obedient to this call. A call from God to His people in all ages to seek the peace of the city and to pray unto the Lord for it. To pray for the conversion of our leaders. To pray for the protection of our city and the protection of our freedom to share the gospel in this place. For as we know, lately things change on a dime. And more we see parts of this nation changing for the worse and not for the better, at least from a human standpoint. So tonight, as we go to prayer, I hope that I've communicated a burden for this city, that we will pray unto the Lord for it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for gathering us here together. We pray Thy blessing upon the rest of our time together and ask that Thou will stir our hearts to seek Thy face on the behalf of this sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we go to prayer, we want to sing, "Come Holy Ghost, our God and Lord." Does everyone have within his eyesight a copy of it? Does anyone need one? Looks like we have one back here. Do we have any out yonder? Okay. There we go. That's taken care of. Anyone else? Looks good. All right. We'll ask you to stand as we sing, "Come Holy Ghost, our God and Lord."